One of the great things about the Christmas season is the music. I think half of the old vinyl records and newer little discs that we own in our house are Christmas songs. Anybody know the words to what is known as the Christmas song? You know what song that is? That's it, yeah. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Come on, everybody. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows some turkey and some mistletoe helps to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Mel Torme would be proud of you. That's amazing. How many of you actually know all the words to that song? You probably didn't think you were going to hear it in church, did ya? Song about Santa filling his sleigh and chestnuts and not a whole lot about Jesus. Although Christ does get in there. Merry Christmas. It does actually get in there. Just barely, like a lot of Christmas songs. You know, I've spent some time this week. Actually, I spend time every Christmas season thinking about the music of the season, enjoying the music of the season. But I thought a little bit more specifically, analyzing a little bit the music that we sing at Christmas, our Yuletide carols, as Mel Torme wrote it in his song. The Christmas songs we sing, and it seems to me there's a couple of different kinds of songs that we sing in a general sense. First are songs about us, Christmas songs about us, and they come in different types, what I might call the chestnuts roasting Christmas songs, songs about what we do, happy seasonal activity songs, songs like, we're not going to sing all these, by the way. You can do these, at your leisure later on, but it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Have a holly jolly Christmas. Jingle bells. These are songs about things we do in the Christmas season, happy songs about human activity. We also have what I would call the Jack Frost nipping songs that we enjoy at Christmas time. These are songs about what we've overcome. My theory about these kind of songs is sort of, it's humanity with all of the wisdom that God has given us and the things that we're able to do. Central heating, power stations, fireplaces. We are able to thumb our nose at winter and say, ha, give it your best shot, but we'll be okay. Sort of celebrating how cold it is. Snow doesn't bother us. We're inside. And so we sing songs that sort of mock winter. I mean, that's not really the spirit of them, but there are sort of these Jack Frost songs. Winter Wonderland, Sleigh Ride, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, White Christmas. I bet people way, way, way back before they had central heating weren't dreaming of a white Christmas. Darn, here it comes. Get the blankets. Then there's mistletoe makes the season bright songs that we sing about ourselves. These are probably just Christmas excuses to sing more romantic songs about some girl that we like or some guy that we like or perhaps about affection that we have for one another in family relationships. But the sort of romance and family affection and good feeling songs like I'll Be Home for Christmas, home for the holidays, rocking around the Christmas tree, blue Christmas. I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus. Then we have these Santa's on his way songs. Songs about what we wish. Jolly Santa songs, the North Pole legend continues. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, jolly old St. Nicholas, Santa Claus is coming to town, and we could go on and on with those. How we wish for things. How we wish for a sleigh full of stuff for us. Then we have what I'd call our Merry Christmas songs. Songs about what we believe. Wondrous manger songs, the Bethlehem legend continues. Songs that sort of lead us toward the inescapable history of the holidays. They come from somewhere. Something in history happened that led to this enormous celebration that we have as part of our culture. Songs like Little Drummer Boy, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, Away in the Manger, Oh Come All Ye Faithful. There's a second category, though, of songs that we sing at Christmas time that are not songs about us, what we do or what we believe, but songs about God. What I'd call joyful Emmanuel songs, reason for the season songs, songs about who God is and what he does and what he's done at Christmas. Songs that help us to sing Jesus into the center of our Christmas, a very good thing for us to do. Most of the songs you find, Christmas songs that you find in our hymnal, are these sorts of songs. Hark the herald angels sing, joy to the world, O little town of Bethlehem. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. I think that's verse 3 of O Little Town. All of these different kinds of Christmas songs, the ones about us, the ones about God, tend to encourage good feelings and loving relationships. They're good. It's a good time for music. Some rest on a solid historical, factual foundation. Others materialize out of nowhere, and their encouragement disappears on the 13th day of Christmas, if not before. Theme for our service this week is joy. We lit the joy candle today. There's lots of joy in the Christmas songs we sing at this time of year. Perhaps not so much consistent joy in the lives we lead, yes? Where does joy come from? How do we hang on to it? A deeper understanding of Christmas and appreciation of what I will call the real Christmas song will help us. Near the center of the Christmas story that we tell every year is an encounter between shepherds and heavenly messengers, angels, one in particular that speaks to them, gives an announcement, good news of great joy, tells of a spectacular reality that is happening in history, the birth of Jesus, God the Son. Did this birth come out of nowhere? Well, nobody could have anticipated something quite so strange, a virgin birth, a lowly king, a manger bed, God himself in human form. But it happened with some continuity with things that had come before and words that had been spoken long ago. Where do we get our first Christmas songs? Do they come from 2,000 years ago? There's parts of the Christmas story that are called the Songs of Christmas, the Song of Zechariah, the Song of Simeon, Mary's Song, the Magnificat. Are these the first Christmas songs? Actually, I believe it goes back much further. Turns out the Old Testament is loaded with songs of Christmas. 700 years before Jesus came, there was a prophet named Isaiah. And part of his book are what are called the servant songs of the prophet Isaiah. There's four of them. Songs about a suffering servant. Later, when Jesus came, it was realized that these songs were actually about the same person that all of the messianic prophecies were about. And it really wasn't until Jesus came along that those two things came together. These servant songs, the suffering servant that Isaiah speaks of, and all of the prophecies about the Messiah. Jesus came and we realized that both of these things were found in him. Before that, they didn't know that these or think that these were the same people. Isaiah's book is sometimes called the fifth gospel because there's so much about Jesus in it. The real Christmas song goes back at least to Isaiah, but I think it goes back even further than that. I think the Christmas song is found in the victory song of Abraham. Genesis 12, way back at the beginning of redemption history. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will bless all the nations through you. That's the Christmas song. It's found in the work song to cursed Eve. The work of your bruised heel offspring will crush the evil one's serpent head. Genesis 3. That's a Christmas song. It's found in the searching song of the Garden of Eden, where God comes to his people who've turned away from him. And he said, good to see you down there. And he called out, where are you? God searching for people. That's the Christmas song. The real Christmas song, let me offer you this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92 and beyond. The real Christmas song, it's God's song. It's not the ones we sing about ourselves, not even the ones we sing about God. Not really anything we sing at all. The real Christmas song, it's the great song of Christmas joy the living God sings. Fear not, good news for all people. And God has been singing this tune for a very long time. God revealing himself, who he is, and what he is doing. And don't miss this. It is God singing us into the center of his Christmas. The real song of Christmas is the song of lasting joy because it is the song of God seeking out, working for, and celebrating with us all. You know, you need to get a Christmas tune on that. Let's look at our text for today. 1 Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And then Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. This is the second of what are called the servant songs of the prophet Isaiah. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and to bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. Let's pray. Lord God, we don't want to take these things lightly. Lord, we don't want these truths from your word to just sort of melt into the wallpaper of the season that we see everywhere and experience everywhere. Lord, we want these truths from your word to leap off the page and into our hearts and into our minds and into our lives. Lord, help us to know what it is that you're telling us, each of us, today. Lord, help us to know how it is that you want us to respond, and give us courage and wisdom to do so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are three joy-producing words from the angel's message from God that help us to know his real Christmas song. What does that angel say to the shepherds? Fear not. Good news, all people. Once again, the Old Testament will help us to understand the new. Our theme for this Christmas season in our messages is an old-fashioned Old Testament Christmas, but this doesn't make it any less or any not fully Christmas. For there's plenty of Christmas in the Old Testament. Isaiah 49, Isaiah's older Christmas song, shows the angel chorus to be part of the song God has been singing all along. Listen, the real Christmas song of God is a seeking song for all people. The extent of its intended audience is universal. It's a universal song of joy to all. The purpose of Christmas, the meaning of Christmas, the Savior of Christmas, who's he for? The church? Good people of Reno? It's for everyone. There is no one who is beyond the message and the meaning and the purpose and the power of Christmas. God is seeking, like God's deep searching call in the Garden of Eden. No sooner had humankind turned away, our oldest ancestors turned away from God, than he is out there saying, where are you? Like he didn't know. He's not asking them to reveal themselves as much as he's revealing himself. I am the searching God, and when you turn away from me, I don't turn away from you. I'm searching now. I will be searching then. I am searching in Reno in 2010. That's who I am. Hear my song. God is seeking people, whoever and wherever they may be. Like in the call of Abraham. The beginning of God's people, the Jews. Father Abraham. And God says, among other things, and through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. My intent is a universal sort of blessing through you. We see this in Isaiah 49, right at the beginning of the chapter. This servant song begins with, listen to me, you islands. And islands are somewhat symbolic of foreign places. The ocean, symbolic of chaos. If we want to kind of understand what ocean meant to the Hebrew mind in the days that this was written originally, we should think of space. You know, wandering in space, the expanses of space, planets beyond space. That's sort of how people would have thought of islands beyond the waters, past where you could see, past the horizon. Chaos. People beyond chaos. Everybody, anywhere, anywhere you can imagine and beyond what you can imagine. Listen to me. Hear this, you distant nations. Distant? How distant? As distant can be. Those that are close, those that are far away. Those who look like God's people, those who don't look like God's people. Listen to me. It's a bold call. It's a little different than prophets tend to speak. It's usually listen to God, listen to God. This is what God says. The word of the Lord came to me and the Lord says. In this case, this servant is saying, listen to me. This boldness based on a special position. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. A boldness based on his preparation for the work that he has to do. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver until it was time to shoot. At just the right time. A boldness based on who this person is. He said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." I think we tend to be a little bit overly optimistic about human progress. And one of the forms this takes is that we're always rediscovering, or we think, discovering for the first time new and bold and great ideas that can guide us into a confident future. Ideas like the brotherhood of man. Do you ever get the feeling like people just sort of discovered this idea about 5 or 10 years ago? It takes a village. Well, there's a new idea. The brotherhood of man, we've discovered this. And not only that, but we've discovered evils that will come against this good new idea. Evils like racism, excluding people by reasons of heritage and skin color. Sexism, refusing appropriate equality and partnership with others because they're the other kind of humanity. Or social economic elitism, finding ourselves higher and better and separate because others find themselves in less fortunate circumstances. Religious separatism, finding in our beliefs reasons to shun or even harm other people rather than reasons to share with them and give to them. New discoveries? Look again. God has been singing this song for a long time, and he's been singing it for everybody. And we hear this universal summons from the Christmas angel announcing Jesus' birth. Great joy that will be for all the people. But it's not a new song. Not then and not now. It's the real and old Christmas song of old. A song for all people. And then the real Christmas song of God is a work song of good news. The focus of God's work accomplished is not universal, it's individual. The focus of God's work accomplished is on an individual. It's an individual song of joy to all, but joy in one. Like the old promise to Eve, the mother of all humanity, the evil one, the crafty serpent, he, Eve's descendant, will crush his head. Genesis 3:15. Like the call of Abraham at the beginning of redemption history, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you, Abraham. Through your descendant to come. We hear this in Isaiah 49, verse 3. He said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." Many people believe that this servant that Isaiah writes about, and perhaps the servant that he thought he was writing about, was the people of Israel collectively. You are my servant Israel, and I'm going to do all these things through you. But then we have a real dilemma. Look at the Old Testament story. Do we see in God's people any consistent display of God's character and goodness? Quite the opposite. Mostly a history of looking to other gods, idolatry, and failing to live within God's law or to carry out his clearly commanded purposes. Servant Israel is unfit for this work. Corporate, responsive, righteous, proper work for redemption has failed. It hasn't happened in this corporate sense. The people of God, called out, privileged, special relationship with God, didn't get it done. So who is worthy Israel? Who's Isaiah talking about, really? It is the one specially designed by God for the task. It turns out to be God himself. God the Son, God in human form, Emmanuel. God with us in the flesh, Jesus. Who knew? This servant of God is, quote, Israel, the people of God, as they were meant to be. Corporate Israel's rightful calling and purpose is realized by individual Israel, Jesus. The servant of God is found in the Son of God, who was obedient to the Father like all sons and daughters of God were supposed to be. And note the name Israel. I think this is interesting. This is the name that was given to Jacob after he had wrestled with God. There's this episode when he actually physically wrestles with an angel of God. But it's also a descriptor of his whole life. Jacob was a scoundrel. The name Jacob, which is where you get the name James, which is my name. I don't think my parents knew this when they named me. Jacob and James are really cut from the same root, and it means one who grasps. You know, he was hanging on to his older brother's, twin brother's heel when he came out. And he usurped his birthright. He was a grasper. He was always grasping. He was always grabbing for things. And so he is one who wrestled with God his whole life. The tragedy of Jacob's life is that he spent his whole life wrestling, in turmoil, trying to get what God was going to give to him all along. But the grasper is renamed Israel after he has this episode of wrestling with God. And the name Israel means one who wrestles with God. God's people, Israel, were always wrestling with God, wrestling against him and for themselves, kind of like Father Jacob did. But think about it. God the Son, Jesus, also wrestled with God the Father, did he not? Only in this case, he actually wrestled with God for us. He wrestled in the world. He wrestled with people. He got pinned. And you didn't have to be a good wrestling referee to call that one. But he wrestled with God for us, Israel. Isaiah 49 describes Jesus 700 years before he came. Isaiah 49 sings out God's Christmas song. The sad servant, the struggling servant, the despondent servant, but I said, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Can anyone hear Jesus in the Garden of Eden? Father, let this cup pass from me. Jesus was rejected by the very people he came to love and serve. He faced blatant, self-serving unbelief, misunderstanding, and betrayal from his own people and even from his own disciples. And he still proclaimed their remedy. Look to God. Trust in me. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with God. He's also the joyful servant, aware of God with him. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. This servant will stay connected to his Father. Unlike corporate Israel, the work individual Israel has to do will get done. Good news. The work God calls us to be a part of cannot fail. Good news. And this Jesus that Isaiah spoke of 700 years before is the servant with a divine purpose. Verse 6, he says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. That's too small. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Individual Israel will bring corporate Israel back to God. So he must be distinct from them. His good work will be accomplished. He will gather from the whole world a people for God. The fulfillment of Abraham's call. His good news will be seen. He will be the light of the world. We hear this from the Christmas angel as well, don't we? I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And then a couple of sentences later, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And then, finally, the real Christmas song of God is a celebration song encouraging us to fear not. The results of the servant's efforts, complete victory. It's a victorious song of joy to all, in one, and joy after all. It's the same song found in Abraham's call. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Who's going to get the job done? God himself. Through Abraham and his descendants, God will accomplish his work. Victory. God is seeking. Where are you? He will find his people. He has found us in Jesus Christ. So after all has been said and done, after we have done our best to save ourselves and failed, after the hopes and fears of all the years have done battle in our lives, after we have foolishly rejected the gracious love and lordship of God, God gets his work done for us. Every reason for fear will be disarmed and destroyed. Fear not. Great joy. Celebrate. Isaiah 49 reminds us, points to this. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. 700 years before Jesus. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who is despised and abhorred by the nations, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down. God's victory, salvation to the ends of the earth, will be achieved. Count on it. Good news. No earthly power will be able to resist God's good work. Even kings and princes will acknowledge him. It's the grand reversal. Those who despised and abhorred and rejected him before will bow, joyfully or begrudgingly, before him. The perceived servant of rulers will be revealed forever as the actual ruler of servants. Why? Because of the Lord who is faithful. Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. We hear this also from the Christmas angel in that familiar Christmas passage we read every year. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The real Christmas song? It's God's great song of joy. Fear not. Good news. All people. It's not what we sing at Christmas that really counts. It's what God sings through all time and space. The real Christmas song. We are wise to sing Jesus into the center of our Christmas every year. But the deeper truth is that it is God himself who will sing, is singing, and has always been singing us into the center of his Christmas. Hallelujah. This gives new life and new meaning to all of our Christmas songs. So, fearlessly roast a chestnut and hang some mistletoe to the glory of God. Sing some Yuletide carols by the fire to Jesus, who is the one and only Savior. And although it's been said many times, many ways, wish your neighbors a Merry Christmas in the spirit of God's salvation for all people. And know that all the while, God is singing his eternal Christmas song for us. The real song of Christmas is the song of lasting joy because it is the song of God seeking out, working for, and celebrating with all of us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you once again for your word that speaks to us with power. Lord, I pray that you would speak that message into my heart today and into all of our hearts. Fear not. Good news, all people. Lord, help us to hear this song along with all of the others this Christmas season. To hear this song in those songs. To hear this song above those songs. To hear this song below those songs. And Lord, to realize that you have provided the solid foundation for our lives here and now and our life eternal in you. Lord, help us to respond in hope, in love, in trust. And we pray these things in your name and for your sake.